First, we make the beast beautiful, a new journey through anxiety. Introduction, the beast and me. Anxiety has been my lifelong companion, a beast that I've wrestled with since childhood. But what if, instead of trying to conquer this beast, we could make it beautiful? This Chinese proverb became my guiding light as I embarked on a journey to understand and reframe my relationship with anxiety. I've been diagnosed with everything from OCD to bipolar disorder, and I've tried countless treatments. But it wasn't until I decided to embrace my anxiety as part of who I am that I began to see its potential for growth and transformation. This book is my story, but it's also a guide for anyone who wants to dance with their own beast and find beauty in the struggle. Part 1, The Anxious Dance. Anxiety is like carrying a bowl of water, always on the verge of spilling over. We tiptoe through life, afraid of making a mess. But what if we could learn to move with grace, to find rhythm in the chaos? I remember the day I met the Dalai Lama. Overwhelmed by the opportunity, I blurted out, "How do I get my mind to shut up?" His response was simple yet profound. "It's okay to be as you are. The incessant chatter of our minds is part of the human experience. We all wear masks, pretending we have life figured out. But the truth is, no one has the guidebook. We're all improvising, making it up as we go along. Recognizing this shared struggle can be liberating. It connects us to others who are also dancing with their own beasts. Part 2, The Beauty in Brokenness. There's a Japanese art form called kintsugi, where broken pottery is repaired with gold. The cracks become part of the beauty, a testament to the object's history. Can we view our anxiety in the same way? I've learned that my anxiety is not a flaw to be fixed, but a part of me to be understood. It's the source of my creativity, my empathy, and my drive. When I stopped fighting it and started listening, I discovered its wisdom. One day, while hiking in the mountains, I had a panic attack. But instead of trying to push it away, I sat with it. I felt the earth beneath me, the wind on my skin. In that moment of surrender, I found a profound connection to the world around me. My anxiety had led me to a place of awe and wonder. Part 3, The Work of Healing. Healing isn't about eliminating anxiety, it's about learning to live with it. It's daily work like tending a garden. Some days, the weeds seem overwhelming. Other days, we see the first buds of new growth. I've found that small, consistent actions make the biggest difference. Making my bed every morning, eating real, nourishing food, practicing gratitude. These aren't revolutionary ideas, but they create a foundation of stability in an uncertain world. One practice that's been particularly helpful is what I call actively missing out. In a world of constant FOMO, fear of missing out, choosing to stay home, to curl up with a book or order takeout can be a radical act of self-care. It's about creating space, allowing ourselves to breathe. Part 4, The Courage to be Imperfect. Perfectionism and anxiety often go hand in hand. We believe if we can just do everything right, we'll finally feel okay. But this pursuit of perfection only feeds the beast. I remember a time when I was so focused on getting everything right that I couldn't enjoy anything. I was planning a dinner party, and every detail had to be perfect. But in my quest for the perfect meal, I forgot to enjoy the company of my friends. That night, I realized that true connection happens in the messy, imperfect moments. Learning to embrace imperfection has been liberating. It's allowed me to take risks, to try new things without fear of failure. Because failure isn't the opposite of success, it's part of the journey. Part 5, The Power of Connection. Anxiety can be isolating. We often feel alone in our struggles, afraid to burden others with our fears. But I've found that vulnerability is the key to deep, meaningful connections. When I finally opened up to my friends about my anxiety, I was amazed by their responses. Not only did they accept me, but many of them shared their own struggles. Our conversations became richer, our friendships deeper. This connection extends beyond our immediate circles. reading about historical figures who struggled with anxiety, Emily Dickinson, Charles Darwin, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. reminds us that we're part of a long lineage of sensitive, creative souls who have used their anxiety as a catalyst for change. Part 6, The Journey Continues. Living with anxiety is not a linear journey. There are setbacks, moments when the beast seems too big to handle. But there are also moments of profound beauty, of connection and growth that wouldn't have been possible without this constant companion. I no longer ask how to make my mind shut up. Instead, I listen to what it's trying to tell me. Sometimes it's warning me of real dangers. Other times, it's pushing me towards growth, towards the edges of my comfort zone where true living happens. Making the beast beautiful doesn't mean denying its teeth or claws. It means seeing the whole of it, the strength, the sensitivity, the creativity that comes with an anxious mind. It means dancing with it, stumbling sometimes, but always getting back up and continuing the dance. This journey has taught me that anxiety isn't something to be cured, but a part of the human experience to be explored. It's a beast that can lead us to beautiful places if we have the courage to follow it. So to all my fellow anxiety dancers out there, I say this: embrace your beast, make it beautiful, and know that in your struggle, you're not alone. We're all out here dancing with our beasts, creating beauty in the chaos. And that, my friends, is a truly beautiful thing.